Good day, professors and fellow judges. We are Group P4. Today, we'll be sharing our design of a refinery that involves thermal treatment of vacuum residue crude, or VRC, using light coking. The plant will be based in the Athabasca oil sands in northeast Alberta. Its capacity is 2,300 barrels per day of naphtha and uses 30,000 barrels per day of VRC as feed. In the secondary upgrading portion of the plant, we've designed an amine absorber regenerator and a hydrogen recovery system to minimize costs on the hydrogen feed, which is notably one of the most expensive feed in our process. The implementation of this recovery system is estimated to save $4 million per year. Now, looking at the process located in the middle of the poster, the VRC is fed into the coker fractionator tower where it meets the coker gases. The main products from the tower include wet gases, naphtha, light and heavy gas oil, and bottoms. Our focus is on the off gases that are sent to the fractionator, while the coke is deposited in the online drum until it's filled up and ready to be removed. Now, our main product from the fractionator, naphtha, contains significant amounts of sulfur impurities, which will be sent to the naphtha hydrotreater. Hydrogen and the presence of a cobalt molybdenum catalyst reacts with the naphtha feed and removes sulfur impurities in the form of hydrogen sulfide. The remaining naphtha, along with the light gases, is sent to the separator where liquid naphtha is retrieved. Then, the light gases are sent downstream to the amine absorber and regenerator system where unreacted hydrogen is recovered. The process involves the circulation of amine between two towers and absorbs hydrogen sulfide from the light gases and the regenerator. This results in getting rich amine as a product. We've designed the plant layout seen in the middle of the poster with two main things in mind. First, minimize human exposure to hazards. And second, to ensure a smooth and uninterrupted process flow. The plant layout seen on the poster indicates a muster point away from high-risk equipment and accounts for wind direction in the area. Next, as seen on the bottom left, and adhering to Alberta's Environmental Protection and Enhancement Act, the major streams that will be monitored closely are vent gases from the amine absorber towers, flue gases from the furnaces, and wet gas streams from the fractionator. To ensure that the air quality abides to the regulations provided, greenhouse gases and wet stream gases will be sent to flare. The sulfur-rich stream from the amine regenerator tower is sent to a sulfur recovery plant, which uses CLAWS process to remove hydrogen sulfide. Finally, sour water from the fractionator is sent to the sour water stripping unit to reduce the sulfide concentration. Treated sour water is then used as makeup water and is recirculated back for coke cutting at the end of the coking cycle. Now, for one of the most exciting parts, if you look at the right side of our poster, you'll see the economic breakdown for this project. Our initial capital cost for this project is expected to be around $66 million, which is split equally between the delayed coking unit, naphtha hydrotreater, and hydrogen recovery unit. The pie chart below shows the annual operating expenses, which are expected to be $161 million, with the majority of expenses coming from the raw material feedstock. The project is estimated to bring in $240 million of annual revenue, with the naphtha product being the biggest contributor. The coke produced will also be sold to Asian markets for the production of nitrogen fertilizers. This will also generate a sizable revenue share of $41 million per year. Overall, with a ROI period of 20 years, the project is estimated to have a 30% rate of return with an overall present worth of $492 million. It should be noted that in this estimation, the market prices used for crude oil, naphtha, heavy gas oil, and light gas oil are based on a 6-month average. As observed in the present, The oil and gas market is highly volatile, which makes investments inherently risky. This means oil and gas projects carry a high minimum acceptable rate of return, which is typically around 30% in a 20-year evaluation period. Our current estimates still meet this goal, and in times of higher crude prices, this project presents a tremendous upside. In other words, high risk, high reward. So thank you for your time. Our group is available via email and are more than happy to answer any questions that you might have. Cheers and thank you.